Chilel and the Three Kayas. In Buddhist practice, in tantric practice, the mind has three dimensions that they refer to. And these are called the kayas, or the dwelling places, the dharmakaya, the sambhogakaya, and the nirmanakaya. In Chilel practice, we use three gestures of mind that closely resemble these three kayas or have a very close relationship. In fact, I personally believe that they're referring to the same experience. When we are invited to think of blue sky, that metaphor in to the Chinese, this means for us to relax the mind into its infinite nature. And to see there's no limit to the mind, just like the blue sky. There's no limit to the blue sky. There's no limit to the mind. And like the sky, there's also no form to the mind. It's formless, but it encompasses everything. So this is the Dharmakaya. This is a perfect description of the Dharmakaya, ultimate mind, the mind of the infinite mind, the mind that is fraught with qualities, but it doesn't appear in a dualistic sense. Therefore, we cannot really conceptualize it. We try. The metaphor of blue sky is a conception, but in fact, we can't really fully conceptualize the mind because there are no limits. There are no limits. So we can't, we cannot limit it by a definition or a description. The second kaya, Sambhogakaya, is referred to as the realm of energy. It's also spoken of as the realm of speech or sound, because sound is not really something solid, and yet we experience it. So it comes out of a dimension, or it dwells within a dimension that is not exactly according to the dimension of solidity, what I call the dualistic realm of physicality, or I call it the realm of gravity and density. Okay? So that's the third realm, the Nirmanakaya, gravity and density. Bodies appear. They appear to be separate because they have certain density, and when they have a certain kind of gravity and a certain kind of internal gravity that holds them together. So they appear to be separate. And yet, when we move from the realm of duality, the Nirmanakaya, into the realm of light, sound, and vibration, the Sambhogakaya, we find that although there is still distinction, like in dreams, we have dream bodies, but these dream bodies are not solid. They're not solid. They melt and morph. They appear and disappear. It's just like this realm also is called the between realm, or the bardo, which is what bardo means, because we have form, but the form does not possess gravity and density. So the laws are different within that realm. But also within that realm, there is the perception of waves of pulsing light and energy. And this is my own relationship now. When a psychological culture describes power, mana, prana, chi, they're talking about a rarefied form of energy that can be manipulated by intention. So this is very much like the law of the Sambhogakaya. Everything is energetic. It's waves of energy. It can coalesce into a form, but the form is not solid. And it can be commanded. It's commanded by intent. That's how it moves, is by intent. The lamas describe to us when somebody dies that the quality of the nature of their mind at the moment of death is what propels them into the next rebirth. So if their quality of mind is a cultivation of anger, of hostility, of harming others, then they will be propelled into a realm where they can act that out. So that's often described of as hell, because all they see is eat or be eaten, destroy or be destroyed. So in that way, the intent of the mind is very important to cultivate. So in the Chilal practice, now, how does this play out? Okay, first of all, we recognize the mind's vastness with the blue sky metaphor. Then out of that vastness, we see waves of chi, which are described as a sea of chi or a field of chi. So this is like waves of refined energy, light. It's also referred to as light, because it's light, sound, and vibration, basically, that's occurring in that realm. So, and we command this by touching different parts of our body. So that's the third aspect of mind. So we're going from the expansive mind through the mind of light, sound, and vibration into the dualistic form of gravity and density that we would define as our body. And so we touch our body with the intent that that light, sound, and vibration enters the body. And we command it to bring about a state of wholeness. The pattern of perfect health is already in our DNA. It's already in the patterning of our body. Why does our body become distorted? Well, it becomes distorted because of causes and conditions, unwholesome causes and conditions. Look at that word, unwholesome. So that means lacking a sense of wholeness. So now we are commanding the body-mind to reintegrate from a sense of wholeness. So by doing that and by generating these vast fields of energy, we have the opportunity to transform the body-mind. Because in fact, the body-mind is not solid. It only appears as solid. Nor is it permanent. It only appears as if it's permanent. In fact, it's a vibrating mass of electrical impulses that are moving according to a pattern that comes from the past, whatever has been set in motion in the past. So that can be altered. That can be altered. However, it requires strength of mind. It requires strength of mind. And there are various cultivations that you do in order to prepare for the chi practice, for the Chilal practice, that are essential in making it effective. So one of them is by inviting everyone who's doing the practice with you to open themselves up into a sense of interconnectedness, not only with each other, but with the world at large, especially with the natural world, to feel that the whole universe is breathing together, that they're not breathing by themselves. The whole universe is breathing together. And so every action that takes place within the context of this practice is engaged in with the atmosphere of interconnectedness. That is very important to establish that when you're doing the teaching. So we cultivate that. And then the 8 points, head touch sky, feet on earth, body relaxed, mind expands, respectful and quiet. All of these different aspects are telling, we're giving the message to the body mind to be receptive, to be completely relaxed and open and receptive. So even these, we're cultivating these meditations in the practice, but we have to cultivate them in a relaxed fashion, not in a forceful way. We can't force the mind to think of blue sky. We suggest to the mind that it thinks of blue sky. That suggestion will enable the mind to release itself into the experience of blue sky. But if we try to force the mind, then again, it contracts. And by contracting, it's impossible for it to open into that experience. We have simply a concept and not an experience. We don't want to think about something, we want to be in it. So we don't want to think about these waves of light, we want to be in these waves of light. So all of that's cultivated through the practice.